Here's the thing about adventure. It's never going to come knocking on your door. You got to get out there and track it down. And there's no better way to find it than behind the wheel of a 2024 Toyota Tacoma. With trail-hungry power, legendary capability, and head-turning style, the Tacoma is not for the sedentary. 326 horsepower, 465 pound-feet of torque. And with all the toughness you could ask for, the Toyota Tacoma is the adventure you've been missing. Toyota, let's go places.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Flips the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. By Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
In the left corner of the Sharks' end, Ruda sends it up the near boards. Cardwell made the decision over there, got it to Granlund, lost it. Here's a quick shot, great save by Blackwood. That is off the stick of the man who leads the NHL in goal scoring, Sam Reinhart. And an unusual turnover there for San Jose, but a good save by Blackwood. Face back down to the Sharks' zone, near side. Ferraro fans on it, stolen by Tkachuk. Moving in, backhand shot. Oh no, he scores! Tkachuk gets the backhand shot after taking that puck away. Moving into the right circle, let the backhand go. Might have fooled Blackwood for just a split second. He got a piece of it, but it kind of wafted over his shoulder and kind of settled into the net. And it's 2-0 Florida, both goals by Matthew Tkachuk. This one is his 10th of the year.
Had some decent looks, but it's just not good enough. It's not a threat. We have no attack. We don't shoot enough pucks to create some chaos. That's 5-on-5, too. You see them. They shoot everything. And that was kind of our message tonight, and we didn't do it. So we got to go back and look at it.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and happy Sunday. Hope all of you are having a nice Sunday morning by the time you are waking up and listening to this. The San Jose Sharks did not walk away with a win in Florida, although thanks to the exploits of Mackenzie Blackwood, they were very much more in contention for this one compared to the game against Tampa Bay. But I want to make a quick argument about shot volume, because I know there's people out there who complain about the analysis of just shoot the puck. But if we look at the game last night, the Florida Panthers are the reigning Stanley Cup champions, right? They are a phenomenal team. I don't think there's any argument that can be made with that. You watch the way they play last night. You watch the way they were more physical than San Jose. You watch the way that they are more talented than San Jose. And that is predicated a lot on puck possession, pinning the Sharks in their own end, peppering Mackenzie Blackwood with shots, who was absolutely phenomenal. Yes, he did allow 3 goals, but he saw 53 shots against. Let's say that the Sharks, who scored 1 goal over 29 shots, let's say that they had shot the puck 53 times last night. That bumps them up from 1 goal over 29 shots to about 1.8 goals over 53 shots, or 2. Now you can say, well, Ted, that is a different argument. It's a different team, and it doesn't convert, you know, it's not an apples to apples comparison. Granted, I will acknowledge all those things to true, but just from a pure mathematical standpoint, if the Sharks scored 1 goal on 29 shots, they would have had 1.8 on 53 shots if things had stayed the same with their own offensive production. Now, granted, that changes the course of maybe how many shots are taken by Florida, yada, yada, yada. Yes, I understand the clap back to the argument, but that's why Florida won the game. They peppered San Jose with shots. They created chaos up front. They created opportunities where Mackenzie Blackwood had to come up with huge answers time and time again. And Blackwood, like the tallest and largest of trees, not to go with the wood analogy here, but, you know, you chop it down eventually. All those little blows will take down a mighty tree. And with Bobrovsky on the other side, one of the best goalies in the NHL, they didn't chop him down. They didn't ask enough questions. They didn't make the defense respond enough. They didn't make the goalie respond enough. And yes, that's because Florida is a much better team, but also there were many times during the game where the Sharks, particularly on the power play, were simply hesitant, were simply just almost fearful. Like, they didn't want to take the wrong shot. Like, that idea that we always talk about of don't let perfect be the enemy of good, it seemed like nobody wanted to be the team that put the puck in the other team's possession off a shot or a long rebound, because they would come roaring back in the opposite direction. And guys, that's no way to play hockey. That is absolutely no way to play hockey. That's no way to win a game. That is no way to go about trying to advance yourselves as a team. Ryan Warsawski, you heard about him talking about it in the way in. He said they needed to put more shots on frame. They needed to be more aggressive. And they weren't at all. If we look at the shot selection that the Sharks had per period last night, they had 6 shots in the first period. They had 9 shots in the second period, and they had 14 shots in the third period. They almost doubled their shot total from the first 2 periods, 15, with what they put on frame in the third period. And I love the fact that the Sharks can come roaring back in a game and give themselves an opportunity and make the other team nervous at the end. And that might work against teams like Pittsburgh and or other non-Florida teams. But when you're going up against the Stanley Cup champions, that's a very hard way to get yourself back into a game. Meanwhile, Florida put more shots on frame with every single period. And according to this, they've actually corrected it to 52 shots on goal. So, you know, they had 13 in the first period. They had 19 shots in the second period. They had 20 shots in the third period. So they're now saying 52 shots on frame. So Mackenzie Blackwood maybe only made 49 saves over the course of the game. It doesn't matter. He was phenomenal. He was not the issue. But this is just going off of the report from the NHL. But 13, 19, and 20. That 13 in the first period, their lowest productivity shot volume, is one shy of what the Sharks did in their most productive shot volume period, the third period. I mean, that tells you a lot about the way the Sharks went through that game, right? Like, they just did not have the volume. They did not have the aggression. They did not have the ability. And you look at the power play in the first period, you know, they had 1 shot on goal in the power play. In the second period, they had 3 shots on goal in the power play. And then in the third period, they had 9 shots on goal in the power play. The problem there is that the Sharks were on the power play 7 times over the course of the game. And if you're only going to generate that low of a number of shots, that's very problematic for your chances of winning a game. That's very problematic for your chances of going up against the defending Stanley Cup champions and walking away with a point. I mean, aggression is such a low bar to clear in terms of where the San Jose Sharks are in their development right now that it feels like that message not getting through is... I don't know. I mean, you do understand that Florida is a great team, and I understand that San Jose feels that they have to be clean and they have to make things happen, but, you know, there were times during the first period where they were just kind of pinned in their own end, waiting with the puck behind the net as, you know, Florida's coming forward with their forecheck, where San Jose didn't look like they knew what they wanted to do, and Florida does have a really good have a good forecheck, and they want to come on the, you know, on the waves, and they'll send guys forward, and then it'll just be, you know, a very, very... aggressive forecheck, but you can't get pinned in like that. You need to have speed as you're breaking it out of your own end through the neutral zone and looking for zone entry on the offensive side. You can't just wait and be timid. You know, make them commit and then go. And granted, if your commitment that you're waiting for is going to drive you towards them, you know, trapping, then figure out how you're going to break the puck out in a different way. I mean, you should have answers. It can't be one aspect of your game gets taken away and everything goes to hell. That can't be the way that you go out there and play hockey in the NHL against a team like the Florida Panthers. So, you know, for San Jose, and I'm sure I'm not saying anything that they don't know themselves, but the need for aggression, the need to be able to react to what they're being, you know, given from the opposition is something that against a team like Florida is, they're probably just not there yet. I think that's another aspect of it. I mean, we can go throughout that game and talk about the fact that they were outclassed. When I watched the game, the talent disparity was very clear from one team to the other. And that's not a knock on the Sharks so much as it is a, you know, a credit that you have to give to a team like Florida, who is just so, so good at this point in time. They have the type of team that they know how to win games early. They know how to win tight games. They know how to win tough games. They know how to manage penalties, of which they drew 7 over the course of the game. Florida is a champion. They are battle-tested, they are ready, they have been through scenarios, they know exactly what it takes to win games. The Sharks are a fun, young, exciting team that has the ability to make the improbable happen, but it's not a blueprint that they have for every single game of where they know how to win. It's not a blueprint that they can rely on for every single game and say, we can fall back on this and give ourselves an opportunity. That's just not where they are as a team as of yet. 2, 3, 4 years from now, I would love for us to be having that conversation. but that's not the conversation we're having as of yet. And I'm not trying to come down on the Sharks and say, oh, you know, they're, you know, they deserve a finger wagging or a talking to. No, but there is just a harsh reality of what we saw from San Jose last night versus a champion. Now, the other thing about last night is the Mackenzie Blackwood showed time and time again that he is an absolutely phenomenal goalie who can make some of the most incredible and improbable saves in the NHL. There are not many goalies that can do what he did last night. There are not many goalies who can have that sort of flexibility, that sort of reaction time, that ability to move side to side, that ability to make the big save in the big moment. He was absolutely phenomenal through that game, and it is amazing that in the two games that he's had his highest level of saves and his most incredible performances, last season, game number two against Colorado, and then last night against Florida, that neither of those games did he walk away with a win. You would like to think that if your goalie goes out there and gives you a performance in the vicinity of 50 saves, that you're going to walk away with a win. But somehow the Sharks have not in the two games where Mackenzie Blackwood has simply been out of his mind. And just, I don't know how Canada left him off the roster. Mackenzie Blackwood has been absolutely phenomenal. If Mackenzie Blackwood was on a contending team who got the offensive support that he needed and the defensive support that he needed, I am pretty sure he would have been on that Four Nations roster. And yes, it's a, you know, I can't spend too much time going over that argument, but I mean, he performs at such a high level for the San Jose Sharks, who are not yet a good team, that you can only imagine what he would be on a team that was good, because, you know, he now has been pretty much healthy for the last two seasons, or for last year and for the majority of this year since coming over for New Jersey. We knew the argument was that, you know, he was not what he was supposed to be because of the injuries he had taken, but it seems like he's understood how to deal with those. Last year, he was injured at the end of the season, but they said if they had had a playoff game, he would have been out there. I think there was just no reason for him to go out there and potentially risk a little bit of a tight groin or hamstring or quad through those last few games, so they sat him out. But, you know, that's how it goes. You know, you're not going to always feel great in the NHL. There was no reason to risk anything more severe. And he, by way of going to yoga, by way of doing Pilates, by way of addressing those soft tissue injuries that were problematic for his career, has gotten back on track and showing why he was such a highly touted netminder when he was drafted into the NHL. And he just comes up with these hugely impressive acrobatic, you know, athletic saves that are just massive in the moment. And yes, you could, you know, probably complain about the second goal that he gave up and say it was, you know, a little bit of a cheating move by him where you shouldn't be able to give up that goal short side. And yes, maybe the collision behind the nets that led to the first goal, he's got to be more aware of his surroundings in those situations. But, you know, that was a weird play in general. I think there was a miscommunication back there behind the net. But, you know, if those are the problems, if it's little things that we're nitpicking, I'll be okay with that, because if you have a better team in the NHL, you would think you would have the offensive support to where if you've given up, you know, one goal through the first period or a second or third goal through three periods, that you would be able to be in a 3-3 game against a team. Because, listen, if this was the Sharks of old getting that kind of a performance, they would be in that game. And unfortunately, the Sharks do not have the offensive firepower at this point in time to give Mackenzie Blackwood all of the offensive support that he needed. But it's, you know, it's telling. Mackenzie Blackwood goes out there and gives the Sharks a chance to win. You look at that performance that he had against Seattle on the road to start off that road trip. You look at the performance that he had in Washington. No, coming off the bench, he was not perfect in the game against Tampa. Tampa was on fire that day. There was no slowing them down. We know it's difficult to come in off the bench. I don't blame him for that outcome, just like I don't blame Vitek Vanacek for that outcome. Sometimes you're just going up against a team that's on fire on any given day. It's going to be rough to walk away with anything but a couple of goals given up on your score sheet. But he also gave the Sharks a chance to win yesterday, bouncing back from a relief performance for Vitek, you know, 2 days prior. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the start against Carolina, because when he's this hot, when he's this good, you know, it'd be hard to go away from that. And, you know, a team like Carolina, who is, you know, expected to be a contender when we get towards the end of the season, you need your best goalie out there. And yes, it is a workload on Vitek Vanacek, but, you know, they get a couple of days rest now. They're going to be in Carolina. It's not long travel, which is nice. Also, you look at what they're going to be going up against in St. Louis to finish off the trip. You know, that seems like a very good game to get Vitek Vanacek back into the crease, you know, because he's still kind of finding himself after he had that injury. And, you know, I think that that's a quote-unquote more winnable game. But, you know, I think that you also have to look at where the Sharks have been on this road trip. If I had said to you that through four games of the road trip, the Sharks would be 2-2, you'd be ecstatic with that. Because if you look at the way that it started, a home and away back-to-back against the same team, Seattle, where you beat them twice in a row, you'd be, you know, you'd be happy about that. No argument. And then if you said, okay, then against Washington, Tampa, and Florida, you're walking away with one win there as well, you're going to take it. Yeah, it hurts that you got beat bad by Tampa and then got, you know, pummeled by Florida in a tight loss, but you've still won two out of the four games on the road trip so far. And now you have Carolina and St. Louis, and I think St. Louis in particular presents as a winnable game for San Jose. If you have the ability to walk away from this trip with three wins, of which you still do, you have two games to win one, a 500 road trip is a big moment for San Jose as they move forward in their development. And I don't know that it's going to happen, but I know that they've given themselves a chance by winning those first two games. Because again, if I told you at the start of this road trip that the Sharks will have won two of the first four, you're not going to say, oh, which two teams do they beat? I mean, sure, you would love for them to beat Florida and Tampa or Florida and Washington, but they did beat Washington, who at the time was the hottest team in the East. And now you're looking at this and saying, okay, they've got two more games. They can walk away with a win potentially against one of these two and have a 500 road trip. And then, you know, they still have a chance, guys, to win four out of six on this road trip. I'm not saying it's likely. I'm saying they have given themselves a chance. And compared to the narrative that we had a year ago, the Sharks were not giving themselves a chance. And yes, that is the low-hanging fruit to compare to a year ago, but it's indicative of the improvement they're showing. They could beat Carolina. It is not something that I think we're expecting at this point, but they definitely could. They just beat Washington. They could definitely beat St. Louis. I think the Sharks are giving themselves a chance in most games. In fact, the only game they didn't really have a chance in as of late was that loss to Tampa. Everything else, they've been there in every single game. Also, how about Tyler Toffoli, by the way, coming up with a big goal for San Jose late in the game? I adore that man just as a person and as a player because he just shows you what professionalism looks like. And to look at his productivity up to this point of the season, that was his 11th goal of the year. He has 19 points. And then you look at Mikael Granlund, who now has 30 points up to this point of the season. I mean, those two guys are just producing at an absolutely astounding level. And it's a big step forward for San Jose to have guys who you know you can rely on for points in games. And no, it was not a perfect game for San Jose last night in any way, shape, and form, and they needed more production. But, you know, Jake Walman got a point as well. You're watching more consistent production from him, and I think that you just have to look at the Sharks overall and say, yes, on any offensive possession, there are a number of players this year that can produce. Unfortunately, they need to be more aggressive offensively. And even though Macklin Celebrini was not as noisy as we would have liked him to have been against Tampa, that was kind of a moment of learning for Macklin Celebrini, where he had to figure out how to re-engage in the game and, you know, got out of hand, and then he ended up being pulled for the last 7 minutes, of which people tried to make a bigger deal out of it than it was. I think just with the minutes he'd been playing, you wanted to make sure that he had the opportunity to not risk injury and get some rest heading into the game against Florida. But Macklin started out quieter against Florida because Florida, with their defense, with their ability to be physical, it was going to be hard for Macklin, I'll put it that way. But as the game went on, Macklin started finding his game. And I think that was a very important stepping stone because when you're going up a team up against a team like Tampa, who, you know, they've won multiple championships as of late. I know their record this year so far has not been great, but they're still a phenomenal team. And I will argue that they will not surprise me in the slightest if they're in the conference championship at the end of the season. Macklin was quiet against them. He did not have the ability to find his game. In this game against Florida, it started out very similar. But then as the game went on, he was able to be more productive. He was able to figure out ways he could impact the game. He was able to figure out ways he could use his skill set to be more of a factor in the game. That does not happen with every 18-year-old in the league. And that, to me, is my excitement out of the game, along with Mackenzie Blackwood and Tyler Toffoli and Mikael Granlund and Jake Walman, who also had a point. But Macklin Celebrini is learning in real time, and it's not taking him long to respond. He figured it out from one game to the next against top-level competition. And now he's got another huge challenge against Carolina on Tuesday, where, again, you're going to have to watch and see how does he respond to big-time talent. How does he respond to big-time players in the NHL pushing him around, being physical, being hard, being heavy? That's what things are like in the NHL. You have to learn how to adjust, because everyone right now is trying to figure out how to slow down Macklin Celebrini. It's on Macklin Celebrini to figure out what his A game is, what his B game is, what his C game is, what his D game is. And I don't mean in terms of grade levels. I just mean in terms of figuring out what's plan B, what's plan C, what's plan D. And even if he is knocked off what he would consider his best game, can he find other opportunities to be impactful throughout the course of the game? And I think Macklin Celebrini started to show us flashes of that throughout the game. And considering this kid hasn't even played 20 games in his NHL career, yeah, it's pretty darn impressive. I mean, right now he has a 2-game streak without points, and that is the longest he has had since November 10th, 11th, 14th, and 16th, of which he just did not register any points. So yeah, that tells you about Macklin Celebrini and what he's capable of, and watching his game find itself in real time throughout that game last night was very, very fun. But, you know, it speaks to how good Florida is. It speaks to how powerful they are. They made life difficult for San Jose. San Jose did not immediately know how to respond. They had to figure it out throughout the course of the game. Mackenzie Blackwood kept them in it. The Sharks needed to be more aggressive offensively, and hopefully this is another learning experience for San Jose. Shot volume is paramount in the NHL. Yes, you want to create good looks. You don't always just want to turn it over and let the puck go in the opposite direction after a shot, but you also need to be able to create chaos. You need to make things happen. You need to put things into the dirty and tough spaces, let guys hack at it and see if anything can happen. I mean, that's how Florida got their first goal. They put it deep and then something happened, right? Now, granted, they have a number of high-level competitors who can make plays at any moment, but that's still something that they, with their ultimate skill level, are trying to operate on at this point of their narrative. They've already won a championship. They're not looking for perfect looks. They are looking for chaos. They are looking for activity. They are looking for reaction and to pounce. And that's what San Jose needs to figure out to go forward and take steps forward in their development. All right, let's get some Dan Ruzanowski highlights. It started 23 seconds in. Florida, like I said, creating chaos, creating something out of nothing.
Off the draw, Sharks dump it back into their own territory, and Blackwood and goal to our left put the handoff onto Wallman's stick. He gave it away. Here comes a shot to the net. Save, rebound, score! Matthew Tkachuk is in front of a net. Sam Bennett intercepted that pass as Blackwood fed it up the boards, and it's 1-0 Florida. This is exactly what the doctor did not order.
That was not the way you wanted to start a game, and for many, it brought back flashbacks of what happened 2 days prior against Tampa Bay, but credit to Mackenzie Blackwood and the San Jose Sharks, even though they were getting pinned in their own end, even though Florida was very much on the attack, especially for the first 14, 15 minutes of that first period, San Jose did not let it get away from them, and I think that even though, yes, it's a losing effort for San Jose, it should be noted that they were able to keep themselves in the game from one day to the next, or from one game to the next, I should say, in terms of understanding what happened in Tampa, maybe taking a deep breath collectively as a unit and figuring out, okay, we just saw this. Let's make sure we don't make the same mistakes that we did in that Tampa game. And it took the Panthers until the second period to double their goal scoring lead. And we all said at the end of the first period, whoo, that could have been worse. You shed a sigh of relief. But in the second period, the Panthers did strike once again.
Chase back down on the Sharks zone, near side. Ferraro fans on it. Stolen by Tkachuk. Moving in. Backhand shot. Oh, no. He scores. Tkachuk gets the backhand shot after taking that puck away. Moving into the right circle. Let the backhand go. Might have fooled Blackwood for just a split second. He got a piece of it, but it kind of wafted over his shoulder and kind of settled into the net. And it's 2-0 Florida, both goals by Matthew Tkachuk. This one is his 10th of the year.
When you are a Stanley Cup champion team, your stars play like stars. And that's exactly what Tkachuk did out there on the ice yesterday for Florida. And then another star in Barkov came in and gave them a 3-0 lead.
Here come the Panthers on the move through center. Reinhardt is out there. Barkov, Verhaeghe, centering play, intercepted by Ferraro. Couldn't clear it out. Tkachuk kept it in. throws it across to the left, and now it's over to the right, and the shot, score! Barkov, tic-tac-toe. Again, Tkachuk intercepts a clearing attempt to start the play. This time, Barkov finishes it. It is a power play goal for Florida, and they lead 3-0.
San Jose did have a lot of time left to get back into the game, but you knew the way that Florida was playing and just their overall ability, it was going to be very hard for San Jose to get back into it, and they didn't until a late goal from Tyler Toffoli gave the Sharks life.
Minute 30 remaining in the game. Fans cheering for Bobrovsky here. As now Granlund on the point, holds it, shoots it toward the net, chip, score! Tyler Toffoli was wide open, and Granlund set him up perfectly, and that breaks the shutout. It's a power play goal for Tyler Toffoli, and the Sharks are down by the score of 3-1 for Tyler Toffoli. That is goal number 11 on the season.
But unfortunately, it's too little, too late. It's 18:35 of the third. You've got a minute 25 remaining in which you're trying to create chaos and make things happen, but you know, if I have a criticism of the Sharks this year, of which it's not fair because I should not be comparing San Jose to Florida, but it's San Jose needs to create that chaos earlier in games to give themselves more of a chance. And I know that's easier said than done, but the shot volume eventually paid off in the third period when they were able to find a goal. And yes, it did come off the power play, of which they did not score it that way initially, but they decided it was a power play goal. But yes, you know, you give yourself those opportunities, you give yourself, you know, the man advantage or the two-man advantage, and San Jose is going to find a way to score. I love the fact that they don't give up, that they fight till the end, but this is something that they need to figure out about their game. They need to be more just active and aggressive earlier in games, even against top-level competition like Florida. All right, let's get into some of this post-game reaction. Tyler Toffoli asked about playing against a team that's difficult like Florida.
Yeah, I mean, they play a hard game. They play like this for the past multiple years, and they're a reason why they're the Stanley Cup champions. So,
I mean, Tyler Toffoli probably did not love the overall performance from the team, but I also think he's a veteran and aware enough to know that going into this game for San Jose, it was going to be difficult no matter what. And it's one thing for me to be, you know, relatively not upset, but just saying like, oh, they did this, that, and the other thing. But I think there's probably a part of Tyler Toffoli who goes, yeah, we would have needed to be perfect against a team like Florida to walk away with the win. Now, last year, the Sharks had to be perfect in almost any game. But this year, I think he knows they're good enough to win not being perfect against other teams in the NHL. Against Florida, yeah, you need to be, you know, completely on your game for a team like the Sharks to walk away with a win. Not that Tyler Toffoli is accepting of losing. I think he's just very aware of the reality that the team was collectively up against. He was also asked about the power play and their, you know, inability to mostly get things done.
Well, obviously score. I thought we had some chances. But at the end of the day, I think we need to shoot more pucks and retrieve more pucks and, you know, get to the net. And I think that's where all the goals are scored. And I think if you look around the league, that's, you know, the recipe for success for the most part.
Shoot the puck is something that I think many people are sick and tired of hearing, but it is a valid take as just validated by one Tyler Toffoli, a consistent goal scorer and point getter in this league for over a decade. He knows how to get it done. He knows what it takes. He knows about getting pucks on frame. He knows about what you have to do to get goals in the NHL. And while it is not the most sexy answer in terms of tactics that people are often looking for, it's shoot the puck. Shoot the puck and you will make things happen and you'll have a greater opportunity to score. Head coach Ryan Warsawski was asked if the Sharks respected Florida too much throughout this game.
I don't think we respected them too much. They have our respect. I think they have the whole league's respect. I think at times we play in fear and we lose our swagger, and that's where we're at right now.
Warsawski also spoke on Mackenzie Blackwood's performance and unshockingly had nothing but praise.
One of the best goalie performances I've ever seen, really. Stood on his head for us to be in that game, even, you know, on the score sheet. Was what he did was super impressive. Not surprised, though.
What's funny is that when the Sharks lose 3-1 this year, there is a sense of a lost opportunity for San Jose compared to where they were previously. And yes, losing on the road 3-1 to the Panthers is almost par for course for the rest of the NHL, but San Jose, by way of taking steps forward this year, there is starting to be a level of expectation that was not there in the past. Losing 8-1 to Tampa, we've seen that too much. That's not the expectation either. However, you know, San Jose has given themselves a chance in games. And, you know, being within a low-scoring, tight affair against Florida is not anything to, you know, just totally swat away. This wasn't the worst performance we've ever seen by the Sharks. It wasn't the best performance we've ever seen by them, but it's indicative of where they were compared to a year ago. Imagine where they'll be on the road a year from now when they take on Florida. Not that it's just a linear progression, as shown by Tampa, but it's, again, speaking to San Jose's collective growth. Next up, Carolina on Tuesday. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.